Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you with us on this holiday weekend. If you're with us in person, we're grateful to have you here this Sunday. And if you're worshiping with us online, we hope that the lakes are beautiful and the sky is blue outside. So we're grateful to have you with us as well. I always tell people, if you're worshiping on a holiday weekend, you get two gold stars on your Sunday school attendance. So just know that we're grateful to have you with us, and we pray that this morning's service inspires you, helps you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ, helps you know God more personally, and as we sing together and pray together and worship God together, I hope that this moment, this time together, helps you grow in your faith. As we gather together, I hope that you are given a connection card on the way in the door, and that you have a moment to fill it out and let us know that you are here. In addition to that, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment and filling out, there are many ministry opportunities on the back of the card that we would love to help plug you into, and we encourage you to fill that out so that we can be in touch with you about those ministries. In addition to that, there's a yellow prayer card in the pew back in front of you, and for those of you who are worshiping online, we encourage you to fill it out on our webpage as well. And if you have anything that we can be praying alongside you for, about maybe a neighbor, a coworker, a colleague, a family member, we would be honored to add them to our prayer chain and to pray for them in the coming weeks ahead. As we worship together, we're continuing a sermon series about the things that we believe, the things that we hold on to, the things that are just foundations or cornerstones in our faith. This morning, we're going to be talking about the things that we believe about Jesus Christ, and so we hope that this service is edifying to you as we gather for worship this day. And with that, I encourage you to stand and sing as you're able and join us in our opening hymn.
Join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, our Savior and our light, we come to worship you. Be with us in this moment and always. Help us to bring your light in our dark and dark world, and help us to love others in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Today's scripture comes from John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much for sharing that reading. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who came to save us all. Amen. Well, Pastor Lindsay and I had the fortunate opportunity to, after 10 years, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary. We went back to Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in Chicago, which is the place that we met, and we renewed our wedding vows standing at the chapel at Garrett Seminary, which was absolutely beautiful, just this last week. But one of the things that we got to do while being in Chicago was ride the red line of the CTA, or the L system, the public transportation system in Chicago. Has anybody ever ridden on the L in Chicago before? So some of you know what this experience is like. There are days on the L that are absolutely beautiful, wonderful. You get to see all of the city sights, the wonderful tall skyscrapers of Chicago, and all of the wonderful architectural achievements of humankind. And then there are some times on the L that you get to sit next to somebody who's fascinating, who tells you their life story, that is an interesting character, who maybe overshares a little bit. And it reminded me of some of my experiences in seminary. Pastor Lindsay and I just kept having these moments in Chicago the last couple days when we were like, oh yeah, I remember that. That was lovely or terrible, or I'd rather forget that, or whatever. One of the experiences that I remember is riding on the red line, oftentimes from this stop on the north side of town, Howard was its name, all the way to the south side of Chicago, where I was serving as a student ministry intern at the time. And I remember this guy who sat down next to me. I was in seminary, and the nerve of this guy, you know, he said to me, "Do you know Jesus Christ personally?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." He's like, "How do you know that you know Jesus Christ personally?" And I was like, "Well, I go to seminary." And this guy was completely undeterred. I mean, he was like, "Well, I know lots of people who have been to seminary that do not know Jesus Christ personally." I was like, "Fascinating. This is not going to be an easy win, you know? Like, we're in for the whole ride from Howard all the way to the south side of Chicago." And so he goes, "I want to know for sure that you know Jesus Christ personally. Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins?" And I was like, "Lovely, yes. Like so far these are easy and I can handle this." I'm like, "Thank you for asking me." I'm like, "You know, actually, I'm going to church. I'm going to a staff meeting. I'm training to become a pastor." Still completely undeterred. He's like, "Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and put your whole trust in his grace?" And I was like, yes. You know, I'm like, what is the bar that I have to clear here in order to get on the same page, you know? And he continues to ask me questions about my faith until I kind of feel like I was rescued by the stop on the L. I was like, "Whew, God, did I pass the test?" You know, but there was this moment that I was riding next to this guy where I found myself thinking, "I both deeply respect you because you've chosen to use this time on the L to ask somebody else about their faith, to maybe push them to consider an aspect of Jesus Christ that maybe they hadn't considered before." And I have to admit, I was like mildly insulted by this approach to evangelism, right? I mean, it sort of was a reminder of the experience of when you'd hear the knock on the door, right, in your neighborhood, and you open the door, and there's two young individuals, oftentimes wearing suits, and they're like, "Hello, I'm Elder so-and-so, and I'm Elder so-and-so, and we're here to share our faith in Jesus Christ." And you're like, do I have to? Like, can I say no thanks? Like, but if I do that, am I locking God out of my house? Like, how do I respond to Jehovah's Witnesses, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is, throughout the millennia, people have believed all different kinds of things about Jesus. From the very beginning, Jesus has been one of the most divisive people in the history of the world in some regards. And what I mean by that is, from the very beginning, there were arguments about whether or not Jesus was fully divine and fully human, or maybe he was more fully divine but not fully human, or maybe he was fully human but not fully divine. There's people that started out believing that he was fully divine and became more human, which is called a descending Christology. And then there are other people who believe that Jesus started fully human and ended up being fully divine, which means it's an ascending Christology. And people fought about this, right? And then there were questions about whether or not Jesus coexisted eternally with the Father, meaning that from the beginning of the Trinity, right, when the Father and the Holy Spirit were in heaven creating everything in the beginning in Genesis, whether or not Jesus has coexisted eternally with the two other members of the Trinity or not. And churches split over that stuff. They argued, they fought, sometimes even to the death. There have been arguments about who Jesus was and what he meant to us. I'm not surprised that people get really worked up about who Jesus was. I mean, at the end of the day, we hang so much of our belief and faith in Jesus Christ's ministry, story, death, and resurrection. His incarnation is foundational to the very story of our faith. Sometimes I find myself just thinking, you know, Jesus was pretty clear. He taught his disciples that all you really have to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes I find myself going, like, is it really that hard? I mean, am I missing something here? And yet, the battles rage on. And I don't know about you, but there are some times that the way that Jesus gets portrayed by another tribe of Christianity, I find myself being deeply offended. There are images of Jesus that when I see them, I get angry. I'm like, I don't think Jesus was into that. Some examples for you. There have been times that I have seen Jesus portrayed with weapons. I have a hard time imagining that. In my understanding of Jesus, I imagine sort of a pacifist. I mean, at the end of the day, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus's good right-hand man, Peter, pulls out a sword and is ready to cut off the Roman Empire imperial soldier's ear. And Jesus sort of says, like, put your weapon away, Peter. This isn't what I came here to do. Jesus taught and preached stories, right? When he says somebody comes up to you and asks you for your tunic, you know, give it to them, right? Give them the shirt off your back. If somebody asks you to carry their pack for them for a mile, take it an additional mile in addition to that. And if somebody slaps you across the face, turn your cheek and say, here, hit me on this side also. There are depictions of Jesus that align with particular political ideologies, and sometimes I find myself wondering, like, would Jesus have really picked a side in this particular fight? Do I believe that Jesus would have been a Republican or a Democrat, or do I imagine that Jesus might have said, you know, actually, my greatest calling in life is to answer to a higher power. God is my director. God is the author and perfecter of the universe. Some other images of Jesus that I find deeply troubling is most folks believe that Jesus was born in Nazareth, which means he was probably Middle Eastern. Now I'm here to tell you that a lot of popular depictions that portray Jesus as sort of like Fabio, right? Like this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, beautiful, wonderful person. And I'm here to tell you that there have been moments in my faith that that image of Jesus has helped me connect with God's divine presence in the world. But nothing from my faith would be taken away if I actually met Jesus in heaven and I'm like, whoa, I didn't think you would look like that. All of the popular depictions in art looked something different than that. But I'm here to tell you these things about Jesus I believe, and nobody could shake me on this. I believe that Jesus loves everyone. From the moment that Jesus drew his first breath fresh out of Mary's wombs, I believe he came into the world to save all of us from some of the challenges that we face in day-to-day life. And I believe that Jesus cares deeply about even the smallest problems that we have in our world today. I believe Jesus loves all of us. There's no preferential treatment. And you know what's weird about it? We could be the most faithful, pious, God-loving, God-fearing person in the entire world. We could show up to church every single Sunday. We could get 2 gold stars for showing up on a holiday weekend. And at the same time, Jesus would look at all of us the exact same way that Jesus looks at people who haven't been to church in 1 million years. And I know that sounds scandalous. I believe that Jesus wants us to put our faith in him. It's my belief that folks that put their faith in Jesus Christ over a long process by the power of the Holy Spirit have our lives transformed, that day by day we become more like Jesus Christ. When we ask God into our hearts and pray routinely to Jesus, God, show me the way. That God can transform us, that even the things that we're most ashamed of, the things that we hope nobody ever finds out about, Jesus has already forgiven us of those things. And that's the Jesus that I worship. I think Jesus was poor. The scriptures sort of tell that he had a carpentry job on the side, that he was working to provide things for the folks who were in his band. The disciples and Jesus did not have a lot of money. I believe that Jesus was crucified for nothing. The group that gathered on Good Friday made a decision. There was a choice to either crucify Jesus or to set him free, and they decided to crucify him, which most of us are like, how could you ever do that? But I believe that if Jesus were here today, we probably would crucify him again, because some of the things that he would tell us, some of the things that he would push us on, some of the things that he would challenge us would probably get us pretty angry again today. That's the scandalous thing about Jesus. He was always showing up and challenging even religious leaders. If you look at the scriptures, it's oftentimes the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were the religious leaders of his day, that Jesus was oftentimes saying, there's like going to be a special place for all of you who are teaching people the wrong things about my Father in heaven. But I'm guessing that as we gather here for worship this day, if we really started talking about all of the things that we believed in Jesus, we would probably find that there were lots of things that we held in common, and then there were a couple of things that we disagree upon. And in our world today, there's lots of reasons to get into arguments. There's plenty of fault lines around the world today. There's plenty of camps where you either go over here or you go over here, you disagree about things. But I'm here to say that all of that I think is okay. I think Jesus has enough space in heaven for people who believe very strongly about one thing this way and very strongly about this thing in another way and disagree all the time. I believe heaven's big enough for Catholics and Pentecostals and Methodists, and we might still disagree with Presbyterians about predestination and things of that matter. We might disagree about scriptural inerrancy versus being inspired by the Holy Spirit. But this I believe with all of my heart, that when Jesus looks down on all of us, I think that there's a scripture passage where Jesus looked into the city of Jerusalem and he was weeping. And I don't know about you, but these last couple of weeks, when I've heard about people getting shot in supermarkets, and I've heard about people getting shot in schools, and I've heard about people getting shot in places of worship, I've heard about people getting shot in the streets of Ukraine, and I've heard about people getting shot in urban areas, I imagine that Jesus is probably still weeping about some of the things that we have not yet fixed here. And I just want to give us a moment to quietly pray. I know we have a lot of prayer in the midst of our worship services, but on All Saints Sunday, we oftentimes light candles to remember loved ones, members of our church that have passed away in the last year, and we celebrate and we remember their lives and we remember the people who have died in our family, our distant relatives. This morning, on this Memorial Day weekend, we just wanted to give people a chance to light a candle for folks who have passed away unnecessarily to gun violence, whether it be in global conflict or innocent folks who have lost their lives for no other reason but that they were trying to buy some fresh produce. I don't know about you, but I dream of a world with all of my heart. And when Jesus came and preached about the coming kingdom of God, I really hope there's an end to violence at that point. I'm praying that the streets of heaven are just littered with wonderful people, but there's no more blood running in the streets. I hope that there's no drills where kids have to hide underneath their desk, covering their head. When I imagine the kingdom of God that Jesus came to proclaim, I sure hope it's a place that we can all get along. And all of the fights and all of the arguments and all of the trigger pulling ends. And so I just want to give you a chance as we gather together for worship this morning. We remember the lives of people that gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could experience so many of the blessings that we have in this country, so many of the joys, so many of the wonderful things that we all celebrate. If you feel so moved, I also want to invite you to light a candle and to prayerfully consider how we might live more faithfully into the very kingdom that Jesus came to preach and teach about. Because I don't think it's here yet. And at the end of the day, I still believe with all of my heart that Jesus' plan to transform the entire world was us. The 12 ordinary people that Jesus called to be his disciples, who went and told other people about Jesus, who told other people about Jesus, and now we're sitting here today because Jesus said, "You all are going to do even greater things than I did when I was here." And so I just want to give you a moment. I think Susan might play a little bit on the piano. And then if anybody would like to come forward, I invite you to come forward through the center or radial aisles. There are lighters over here to light candles in memory of folks who have lost their lives. Maybe it's somebody that you know, and it might be somebody you've never met before, but let us remember them this day. Amen. Thank you. And so we remember the lives that have gone before us, the ones whom we love, the ones whose names we know, and the ones that we don't. We grieve the lives that are lost needlessly, and we know that God dreams of a world where there's no more bloodshed, a place of harmony and peace. And we know we're not there yet, but by God's grace, perhaps someday we can allow the arguments and the divisions and the strife and the battles to all be set aside, so that someday the reign of God might be complete. And I long for that. A time when there's no more moments of silence, no more periods of time that we have to reflect on needless lives lost. And so we gather here in this space to remember the Christ who came into this world giving himself for all of us so that we might be forgiven and redeemed. Thanks be to God for this Christ who came to save us. Amen.
Skies, for the love. Thank you, Susan and choir. That's amazing as always. This morning, we have two prayer quilts for Timothy and Dawn, and I would ask that you would pray with me over these quilts as they go out to these folks. Gracious God, we know that prayer is heard and answered, and so as we send these quilts out, may the recipients be wrapped in our prayers, in your love. May they find healing and strength. May they find what they need to face each day as they move ahead. We ask all this in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen. We've been talking about what we believe. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, believed in the importance of prayer. He believed that prayer helps the church grow spiritually and strengthens her mission to the world. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul said prayer is used to lift others up to God and give thanks for them. We use prayer, basically a conversation with God, to convey our adoration, thanksgiving, and gratitude. We express to God our own condition, our longings, petitions, our joys and triumphs, our grief and sorrow. I believe in the power of prayer to change hearts and minds and to fill our lives with hope. And so now let us open our hearts and minds as we join together and continue to pray this morning. God of all creation, on this beautiful morning, all your creatures sing your praise. Our hearts are filled with gratitude for the beauty of nature, the diversity of the plants and animals, and the people and cultures that are all part of your plan for this world. Help us, Lord, to follow the example of Jesus, to show mercy and compassion to those who are hurt, suffering, and in pain. Help us to give freely of all that we possess, that all might have the essentials of clean water, food, and a safe place to rest their head at night. Help us to love one another so that all violence, hatred, and war might cease. We ask, Lord, that you would give us courage and wisdom to see each other as you see us, everyone made in your holy image. Give us courage to speak out against evil, injustice, and oppression that is counter to your will for us and this world. And give us courage to act as peacemakers in a world that tries to divide and destroy us. Our hearts are heavy when we think of the senseless loss of life that continues to dominate our news. Fill our leaders with your spirit that what they do reflects your will for us and this world. We know that you, God, are in control, but we also know that you call each of us to continue the work that Jesus started. Grant us ears to hear and hearts to respond to the call you have put on each of our lives. Remove any obstacles to humanity finding a path that will allow us to build your kingdom here on earth. Gracious God, it's easy to lose hope in the face of mass shootings, pandemics, natural disasters, and war. Help us to remember that our hope is rooted in you and cannot be taken from us. We believe in your Son, Jesus, who taught us to live, who died for our sins and rose from the dead to show us just how much you love all your people. Let us now take a moment to recall those things that fill our hearts with both joy and sorrow, trusting that God hears us in this time of silent reflection. Holy One, you meant for us to live in community, loving and supporting each other. As we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, may we find the words etched in our hearts so that they will guide our every decision. And it is with confidence and conviction that we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Deacon Loretta, for leading us in prayer this day. As we continue our worship service, one of the ways that we can respond to God's word in our midst is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And as we share in this time together, I want to invite you to turn your attention to the screen where we'll have a video presentation. Our mission moment will be brought to us by April Shower. It's one of the great things that our church does, to take somebody who's either renting or formerly homeless and give them a home through Habitat for Humanity. I've been there when people have been handed their first set of keys, and it's remarkable what it means to somebody to hold a set of keys to a home that they will soon own someday. So I invite you to take a look at the screen as April shares with us about Habitat for Humanity.
Good morning. My name is April, and I'm excited to present this month's mission moment, which is Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley. Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley partners with potential homeowners to build a new life for themselves through decent, affordable home ownership. Habitat renovates empty houses with community partners and sponsors, and then turns them into homes by offering an affordable mortgage to prospective homebuyers. Our church is a member of the Good News Group, a group of 13 congregations in Washtenaw County that since 1997 has partnered with Habitat for Humanity to pool resources to help fund and build homes in the community.
I'm sure April would do a better job than me, and we'll post this to our social media later on in the day. But suffice it to say, every single year, our church has partnered with churches across Washtenaw and Livingston County that have worked together to build a home for Habitat for Humanity. And this year is no different. Our church will be partnering with all of those churches and communities of faith in this area to provide a homeowner with a brand new, like I said, set of keys that I hope will transform their life. And if you know about home ownership, you know that there are times in life that economic things get challenging and you have to take out a line of equity against the value of your house, maybe to put a kid through college. But when you build equity by buying a home, you build generational wealth. And Habitat for Humanity, through its many, many, many homes that it has built for folks in this community and all around the country, has helped people do that. So I'm grateful that our church is connected with Habitat for Humanity. If you have never done a build before, I encourage you to sign up for one this summer. And it's great. Like, everything that I know how to do in my own home, I know because somebody at Habitat for Humanity taught me how to do it. And so I'm grateful for the fact that they always have a skilled individual on site to teach you about how to install floors or cabinets or roofs or build walls or put siding on the side of a house. And so I'm grateful that our church has supported Habitat for Humanity throughout the course of these years. Thanks be to God for your extravagant generosity. Amen.
We bring our offerings to you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you will guide us in using them for the good of your kingdom. We pray that these gifts will help us to build a church that glorifies you. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being here this Sunday as we close our time together. I just want to invite you to a couple of ministry events that are coming in the near future. First of all, the Samaritan Counseling Center, we have covenanted as a group, as a church, to raise $10,000 for the Samaritan Counseling Center. I'm going to be walking or running. I haven't quite decided yet what my commitment level will be, hopefully running in a race on July 16th. If you're interested in doing that, I invite you to just say hi to me after the service. We would love to get you signed up for that race, and I'll be trying to fundraise some money online through Facebook. If you're interested in doing that as well, you can invite your friends and family to contribute to the Samaritan Counseling Center to support us as well. In addition to that, there are multiple volunteer opportunities this summer, which include a chance to work at Habitat for Humanity. No building skills are required whatsoever to do that. If you are interested, please contact the church office and let us know that you're interested in serving with Habitat for Humanity as well. For $40, the fellowship committee is inviting you to a Lansing Lugnuts baseball game. We encourage you to sign up for that. There are sign-up sheets out in the community room, or you can email the church office if you're interested in doing that, or contact Dave Moore, who is leading that ministry. And on June 19th, we're having an outdoor picnic at Whitmore Lake during our 11 o'clock time frame for worship. If you're interested in joining us for church, it'll be beautiful outside. I've already ordered up fantastic weather, and I pray that order comes through. But as you go out into the world this holiday weekend, I hope that you'll just take a moment and reflect on the world that Jesus preached about, the kingdom of God reigning here on earth as it is in heaven, to imagine what that would look like and try to live into that with the fullness of your faith, to allow yourself to be a part of building that kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's what Jesus charged us with. So I wanted to let you know that this week, about 1,200 United Methodists will be gathering up in Traverse City for annual conference. Some folks from our church, Pastor Lindsay and myself, will also be there. So hold the Michigan Conference in your prayers. There's about 150,000 United Methodists in the state of Michigan, and we're getting together for conference this year, and we pray that it would be something that would glorify God as we gather this year for conference. As you depart into this world, I pray you would go into the beauty of creation that God created, loving God with your whole mind, soul, body, and strength. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.